It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined this week by Ian Kay, who for the next 30 to 35 minutes is absolutely not my boss.
That gimmick still does not get old, Dakota.
All of our gimmicks are great. We'll talk about the weather in a minute, too. And Gemma Kaneko, a fellow Cut 4 writer.
Hi, that's me.
Hi. So normally, at this moment, we would be talking about the weather, or I would be sharing a story about
breakfast
foods. But there's baseball going on, which is far more exciting. So more importantly than that, however, the big breaking news this week was that Yasiel Puig announced that he's going to be bringing back some of his bat flips. Take it back. Not going to flip as much. And that's a really sad day for Cut 4. I don't know. Ian, how do you feel?
I mean, I'm devastated. Yeah. The bat flip, I think, is probably the best celebration there is in baseball, as a general kind of thing that everybody does. And Puig was just the master of the art, at least the current generation. And I'll definitely miss that element of his game.
Yeah. Well, Vince Scully, he called him the maestro of the bat flip.
I agree.
So, you're in good company there. Gemma, what do you think?
It's really tragic. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree, all these sentiments. I love a good bat flip. Yasiel Puig is a pro.
He was a pro.
I just don't think he's going to stop entirely, though.
I don't either. That's part of it, is that I just straight up don't buy it. I buy that, he's going to try to not do it as much. But, the whole reason he does it is because he's so excited that he just did something
and
awesome.
You can't help it. If your emotions are running that high, you're just going to do it. And it's going to be an outpouring of spontaneous joy, and it'll be magnificent.
So. Where is he going to channel all that emotion? Does it have to go somewhere else? Or is it going to be bottled up inside of Yasiel Puig?
Entirely possible.
I mean, as we've seen, when he hits a home run playing baseball video games, he, shouts hallelujah and jumps around. I mean, if all of that emotion is just going into a bat flip, I feel like there's still so much more joy. We haven't even seen it.
It's possible. It's possible that we're going to get a whole other level. That, he's going to drop the bat flips and we're going to get something even more awesome. So I'm holding out hope for that. But I also, he left himself some wiggle room in that quote where he was like, if it's a walk-off, something, So we'll see. I don't know that it's going anywhere necessarily. But got us thinking. We were talking about this earlier. Not you, again, because you sit far away from us, Ian.
Not that far, guys.
You sit in Siberia. Well, Gemma and I were talking about this, but if you were a player, what would be would you be a bat flip guy? Would you, if you couldn't bat flip, what would you want to do? When you hit a home run, just mashed a dinger, what would you do?
Dakota, you can't say dinger anymore.
You're right.
The AP told me.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Associated Press Police is coming. but Ian, we'll start with you. If you were a player, what would be your swaggy home run celebration?
So I thought a little bit about this. I think that what I would do, first of all, I would want to have the most outrageous celebration possible. I'd like to show up the pitcher no matter the situation. I mean, if we're down 9-1 in the eighth and I'm hitting a solo shot, that's still me time, okay? I hit that ball 317 feet down the line, but it's still my face. The camera is on me, and I'm going to take advantage of that. I think the first thing I would do is drop down to one knee. Kind of indication, look, I hit that, I'm going to be here for a while because I'm watching it, and that ball's going to be airborne. Don't want to get tired, got a long trot coming up. So I'm taking a knee and just kind of admiring.
Beltre style.
Yes, Adrian Beltre, that may be more of just his swing, but I think there is a little bit of swag element to that also. So that would be my first option.
That's good. And a long trot as well.
Oh, yeah. Basically walking.
That's good. I always, the Adrian Beltre thing was always one of my favorite home run things. Mm-hmm. And I used to call it the proposal because I thought that was all right, he has a name for it.
That's
or
great.
Should have a name for it. Gemma, what about you? What would be your big sort of swag home run celebration?
I mean, I'm definitely into bat flip for sure. Mm-hmm. I would also walk as slowly as I could possibly walk around the bases. But I would want to show, when I got to home plate, I would want to do something big.
Okay.
So maybe a back flip. Those are popular.
That's very cool.
And then I could bat flip onto home plate. That would be.
Would you stick the landing?
Obviously.
Okay.
Yes, obviously. Yeah. Definitely.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Maybe if I could get those poppers, I would just have them in my pockets.
I don't know what you mean.
You like confetti poppers?
Oh, like the New Year celebration? Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I could pull them great. And then do the backflip, so there would be confetti falling around
your
me.
Own confetti show.
I was like, props. Yeah. Props are good.
Yes. You know, this also be great to like just carry around the whole game, just in case.
That'd also be really sad when you don't hit a home run and like accidentally one
like,
falls out of your pocket
Gemma,
when you're
legging
out.
How long have this been in your pocket? I'm like, 47 games.
You're sliding into second base and just pop one and all of a sudden.
Still, I would celebrate that too.
As you're caught stealing.
Yeah, it comes right out of the glove as it hits you.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What would you do?
For me, there are two elements to it. Because presumably I will have several multi-home run games. So I have a couple planned out.
Even though you're a pitcher, right?
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. I mean, National League. So
yeah.
The first would be to, like, just get the crowd jazzed and, like, just, like, you know, the whole time around the bases, like, you know, firing it up, like, yeah, all right, guys, let's go, and, like, you know, all of that kind of stuff. That would be a big part of it. The other one would be if you were in a visiting ballpark, do the cup the ear, you know, I can't hear you because I just silenced all of you and run around the bases. That would be good. And then the last piece of it, just full-on sprint. Like, as fast as you can, like, inside the park home run level sprint. Just because, like, first of all, you never know. They may go over the fence to get it and try to throw you out. Think about that.
Kind of without walking.
I'm like, not maybe sure you're right.
Maybe we should not.
Nobody's like, ever tried
stroll.
That.
It's a bold move.
But, see, that's the thing, though. Sprint just as quickly as you can around. Because it's another good, like, subtle way of showing up the pitcher without, like, showing up the pitcher. Because, like, if you're doing your thing, you guys, where you're, like, walking around the bases, if I'm hitting after you, I'm probably going to be wearing one. Whereas, like, you know, if I sprint, I have plausible deniability. After, I'd be like,
that's
look,
true.
I just tried to get off the base pads as quickly as possible. You know how it is. But, like, you'd have to be careful to not pass anybody. That would be bad.
That could be an issue.
Yeah,
well, some relievers we've seen sprint in from the bullpen, and there is, like, an element of that, I think, going on there.
Totally.
Where it's like, I'm coming out to face you as quickly as possible.
I also like when they sprint really fast, and then right when they hit the infield dirt, it's like air brake. Right. They just stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. But, you know, there's a lot of swag stuff that happens in baseball, and the bat flip is merely one part of it. Puig obviously has a lot of swag. And I was wondering if you guys had any other players who you think are, like, the swag leaders. I know we've talked a little bit before about, like, which member of the Padres was the swaggiest player. But I'm talking, like, all of MLB now, the whole thing. So, Gemma, we'll start with you since you went second.
There are so many good players to put on this list.
I know.
There's so many. I'm going to start with Kutch.
Okay.
I think he's pretty swaggy. I think
losing the dreads is tough.
I know, but that doesn't mean he's still not really engaging. He has fun. He's like dancing around all the time.
That
he always has a smile. I think it's great. My second choice was Salvador Perez because I think his swag is like very subtle and weirdly underrated, like wearing perfume
to distract
and confuse or like make umpires friendlier to him. I think it's just a very weird, sneaky thing, and it takes a lot of attitude to be like, yep, I'm going to wear this Chanel number 5 and I'm going to feel great about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of swag.
That is a swag move.
Yeah.
Did we ever confirm that's what it was?
I don't know that we confirmed it was Chanel.
I feel like the scent itself was still undecided.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's what it should be.
It should be.
So that's really what matters.
Unless he wants to go with that New York Yankees cologne. Because
that's true, too.
I smelled that.
Is it nice? What does it smell like?
Victory.
It smells like mystique and aura. Tradition. Integrity.
Yeah.
Lack of facial hair. All those things.
Yeah, it's a good fragrance, I think.
Yeah.
So, Ian, what do you think? Who's the swaggiest player?
You know, I have a few choices. I think Carlos Gomez among the swaggiest players.
Totally.
I think there's something to be said for, like, what he does on the field, where he's hitting homers, he's stealing bases, he's a good outfielder, kind of doing it all. He also is among the bat flip kings.
Yes.
He's done some serious tossing. Not afraid of confrontation.
No.
He's gotten in more than one dust up. Definitely willing to defend his turf. I think he's among the leaders. I'd like to point out Marcus Stroman out for this year, which is very sad, but, you know, a very promising young swagster. Is that a word?
It is now.
It is. It can be. Yeah. It can be. Definitely going to miss him this year. Special shout out also to Jerrod Dyson, also the Royals. Mm-hmm. The Zoom haircut from last postseason, I think, will forever etch him, you know, into the the pyramid of swag greatness.
Pretty much any hair stunts, because Strowman just tweeted the other day that he had this like blonde fro.
I saw that.
So like yes. he joked, although hopefully he was not joking, that he would grow it out for opening day 2016. But any kind of hair stuff is always like good for swag.
Absolutely. Especially when it looks like Odell Beckham Jr.
Do beards count?
As Strowman does.
Beards count to a degree, but you know, it depends on the beard. Because like a hipster beard, hipsters don't have a ton of swag, I feel like.
No, not usually. No.
Yeah.
No, not really.
But you know, if it's like, you know, cut four burns, or, you know, if it's, a shape.
So you could enter the pyramid of swag greatness, guys, if you did the cut four burns.
I don't have nearly enough swag.
But you could.
I don't have to
clearly there.
This is how. Oh no.
My pick for swag player will not surprise either of you, and it is the man who walked to first base before the pitch was even thrown, and that is David Ortiz, who is in the conversation for swaggiest players of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. Like the in his Players Tribune piece that he recently wrote. He talks about how when he goes, he definitely wrote it. He talks about how he goes to, actually,
and
true story.
Derek definitely published it.
The way they do those is like they do like an interview thing where like the person talks to them and then like it's their voice and it's mostly transcribed. It's pretty cool. But the David Ortiz one, he talked about how when he goes to Yankee Stadium, oftentimes he would say to his teammates, I'm going to hit the choo-choo train before he would go up and hit a home run. Which is the swaggiest thing you could possibly say, referring to the New York City subway. I love it. He has just, there's endless amounts of swag with David Ortiz.
I feel like him going to the White House, getting a photo op with his entire team with President Obama, and then making it into his own marketing stunt.
Yes.
Is not talked about enough as a primo swag move.
I mean, he's taken selfies with more than one president.
Yes.
So I feel like that's just.
That's true.
Like, when you're talking selfie king, he is in the conversation. Absolutely. The dude just, he's great. He's just so great when it comes to swag.
I wonder how much of it he learned from swag legend Pedro Martinez.
It's definitely also in the all-time swag greats.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to think that he took him under his wing. And it was like there was like a mentor-mentee relationship there.
Manny Ramirez, not a man without a lot of swag.
That is true. A lot of swag. A lot of strange swag.
I mean, the Red Sox this year are pretty much the all-swag team.
This year,
they do have a lot of swag. Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
Pretty much all of the swag in the league. Hanley, yeah, that's
true.
He's
like a contributor.
Mm-hmm.
Contributor to swag.
But like the Dodgers always have like a ton of swag. Like if we're talking in terms of like war, but like for teams... In terms of swag,
swore.
Then I feel like the Dodgers are high up there. Teams like that,
mm-hmm.
Mets
swag above
sneaky high
replacement in terms of rapper.
Mets,
yeah. Harvey has a ton of swag.
Does he? Is he? I need more. I need more from the Mets.
You need
Can
more.
Can it just be Harvey?
Well, yeah. I mean, he carries the team, but like, right, ton of swag. Yes.
Think so, David?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not buying that.
You can't be like an iconic New York team's baseball player without having a certain level of swag.
I don't think that the actual Captain America has a lot of swag. And therefore, his namesake also does not.
That is a fair point.
He's like a nice young man.
If we're talking swag in the Avengers, obviously Iron Man is number one. So I understand what you're saying. But yeah.
Just the image, the idea is that he's just a pleasant young man who stands up for what's right.
Well,
that's not very swaggy.
No, but David Wright is. Captain America thing's just a nickname. It's not an ethos.
I just feel like his image pretty much adheres to that. I don't know.
You are objectively
other
wrong
than his walk-up song.
This?
Otherwise, I don't know.
Dakota's still deep in this Mets swag hole. That
Mets are swag. The Mets are swag. Matt Monaghan, fellow Cup 4 writer, will agree with me on this. Well, let's move on. This was a great conversation, but let's move on to another.
Are you conceding the Mets swag point?
I will never concede the Mets swag point,
ever.
Never. This is the hill that I've chosen to die on. Jem and I were talking about this earlier, too. Again, you were not a part of this.
I am now.
I'm putting you on blast for that. There's a lot of TV shows that are coming back recently. So Veep recently came back and Mad Men and shows like that, which people are all talking about, Game of Thrones. And we're big TV fans, big pop culture fans. We were thinking there are not enough TV shows about baseball. Like, baseball is basically the only TV show about baseball. Right? So, like, we thought what would be really fun is to, like, come up with our own ideas of what would be a really good baseball TV show. I will go first, because I never go first. So this time, I will go first, because I think my idea is great.
And you don't want us to steal your idea.
Thank you. And yeah. I really don't want you to steal my idea, because it's just that good.
I hope we didn't come up with the same idea.
Probably did. Picture The Office.
Okay.
But with a baseball team. So, like, it's a workplace comedy. You never see them actually play baseball. But, like, it's just, like, the boring. It's, like, getting stretched before the game. Like, talking to, like, Cut Four writers. Like, all the stuff that's, like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I'll do that, fine. It's, like, the dull sort of mundane parts. And then, like, the end of every episode, we were talking about this. Then they would go play the game, and we would not see that part. But, like, you'd then have, like, all the different types, right? So you'd have, like, the grizzled vet who's, you know, there to get his ring. You have, like, you know, the young, wide-eyed player, the rookie who's, like, sort of just... he's happy to be in the show, dagnub. So, like, you have the whole thing. The manager would be, like, a Michael Scott awkward type who thinks he's, like, really inspirational but is not and just sort of comes off really uncomfortable. This is my show.
I think it could be a good show. I'd work on the pitch where you say it's just all the dull parts.
You mean that's not going to get me, like, a network deal?
But so the show's really boring. Only the boring
I would
things.
Just like to say the elevator pitch for Seinfeld is that it's a show about nothing.
That's true. I'm also fascinated by this part of baseball where, like, we, you know, see baseball players as athletes and we see what they do on the field. But to some extent, like, you know, it is also a job. You know, they have lives and they come to the ballpark and go to work. And I'm just intrigued by that part of it, you know, the interactions they have and the things they do, which in some random ways may be more like our own offices than we realize. And not just because I take batting practice afterwards.
Well, there was that article about how, like, it's extremely complicated for baseball players to pay their taxes.
That would be like,
right, because they work in all the different states and cities, and so they each have, like, different, you know, state taxes, city taxes, all that stuff. So, like, that would be an episode, is, like, the players doing their taxes and, like, dealing with human resources and, like, their all that stuff.
And I mean, I want to see, like, your Jim and Dwight knockoffs trying to play a prank on some other team and, like, going horribly, awkwardly wrong. That would be,
There'd be so much of that.
Yeah.
I think that this show should be made.
All about finding, like, ranch sunflower seeds. That could just be the entire thing.
And so much stuff happens in baseball that, like, you could use that as, like, inspiration. Like, oh, getting like stuck in traffic.
When the Rays watched one of their bench coaches drop the water bottle and it landed exactly on
the and they all, like, freaked out.
And it was the most incredible moment ever. That could be a whole two-part episode.
Okay, so I'm glad we're all in agreement that this is the greatest show that has ever been pitched.
It's a show that's been pitched.
I'm not going to hear that. All right, let's hear your ideas, Ian.
Okay, here's my idea. I'm going to pitch this as Big Brother, which is a show in which a bunch of people are put in a house and recorded at all times that I've never seen, meets 2.5 Men, which is also a show that I've never seen, which I think is about, like, some adults and a kid doing stuff together.
Sure.
I wonder how many shows you could be like, this is about some adults and
a kid.
Well,
I also like that your pitch...
I also think that's... I'm not 100% sure that's what 2.5 Men
is. I like
about,
that you're combining two shows you've never seen. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Well, because this is going to be a show that I would see.
I'm excited. Okay. I already want to produce it.
Listen, the 2015 Blue Jays rotation, R.A. Dickey, age 40, Mark Burley, age 36, Drew Hutchison, age 24, Daniel Norris, age 21, Aaron Sanchez, age 22. Burley and Dickey, like, among the most dad life pitchers in the league, in addition to being older. And then you've got the three young hotshots. They're going to live in a house together. They're going to learn a lot about pitching, but also a lot about life.
Oh. So that would be made.
Yeah, tell me you wouldn't watch this show right now.
Someone is listening to this right now, and you're going to get a call that's like, this is happening.
Guys,
get ready.
Sorry, I'm a TV producer now. I got to go.
With a pitch like that, who could say no? That's the real question.
Certainly not most TV executives.
Yeah, no networks, you know, no premium networks. They would all love it.
Right. Call CBC. They could always, you know,
Canadian. I don't know how they do it up there, but, you know, you've got the Marcus Stroman also. He's on the staff. He's not with the team, but maybe he drops by. Burley, noted dog lover. Could be a lot of animals in and out of the house. You know, Daniel Norris, there's no shortage of storylines there. He may not live in the house. He may live outside the house in a motor vehicle.
Yeah. I like this idea.
Me too. I would watch this show.
I would watch this show.
We would obviously write a lot of Cut 4 posts about this show.
Every episode.
Doesn't one of the pitchers call Burley dad?
Yes, Stroman does.
Stroman. That's Burley what it is. Yeah.
That was kind of the, you know, Dickie's like an old school Star Wars guy, which, you know, maybe the other guys are new school Star Wars guys. There's a lot of potential here.
This is good. This is good. And what I like about it is that it really speaks to, like, the contrast of generations that we're experiencing now in larger society. So I think it's good because you can touch on those greater social issues.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Election coming up next year. You don't know how they're going to deal with that. All these issues in our society, I'm just saying, can
so
be seen through the prism of different generations learning to coexist.
Good. I like this idea.
Me
That's
too.
My show.
This is
I'm
good.
I'm glad we're also in agreement about this one.
Yeah.
Gemma,
I'm
you
so
have
nervous
two
now.
Really tough
I really hope that you guys are going to like my show.
Just know that if you can pitch a successful show, we can have an entire like Sunday night block here.
This could be really
so
good.
It all hinges on this.
TGIF.
Okay. Ooh, I'm so nervous now. Okay, you guys watch Deadwood, right? Did anyone watch Deadwood?
Familiar with it.
I was, you know, I like Westerns. I like things that happen in the 1880s in general. I just am a fan of that.
Okay.
Good presidents, good, you know, historical occurrences. So I want to make a Deadwood-type show about, like, Deadball era baseball.
Oh.
Like, you know, Hoss Radburn could be a character in it. Old Hoss Radburn, you could just have, like, these crazy throwers pitching, like, 17 innings and people dying and, like, falling off of trains and, like, jumping over waterfalls and also, like, playing prison baseball. I think it would be great facial hair, great art direction.
I would watch the show.
Of all
really,
the shows.
It would be very gritty, so. Yes.
That is probably the one that was most likely to be made of all of these shows.
I mean, I think we have a good. I think we have a good slate here.
I feel like the baseball period piece has never been done.
I agree. Yeah, baseball period piece show.
I would watch that show every week. I would DVR it so I could watch it twice.
It could be about the beginning of baseball. There'd be all those weird like factory teams all over the place mm-hmm. playing professional clubs. Yep. See Cap Anson. Bean.
I feel like it might need to be premium cable like Deadwood
no,
was.
No, it would definitely have to be premium cable.
Like,
I thought about that. It would have to be an HBO
show. To fully take advantage of all of the gruesome things that could happen to you in the 1880s.
Yes.
I don't know if like network TV could handle.
Visas. Mm-hmm. Weird promotions.
That would be perfect for HBO.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them.
You should.
Yeah. They're around here somewhere, right?
Yes.
Would you just call it Deadball? Would that
obviously. Oh, my God. Yes, it would be called Deadball. Same typeface, everything.
Timothy Oliphant is available. Justify just ended, so
perfect.
He's looking for work.
Yes. Great. Great timing.
But what's the best part of this is that we have, like, a full slate of, like, different kinds of shows.
Right.
Like, there's, like, a sitcom, and then there's sort of a pseudo-reality show. And then there we have this incredible drama. I think that's good. I think we've programmed really well.
I know. We should start our own network, you
we
guys.
We should.
I wonder what we would call it.
That's a good question. Cut 4.
Cut 4. We'd have to get Channel 4 in every market.
Yes.
Somehow.
Which is totally doable. Easy. That is the easy part.
Sorry, NBC. We've got this new 1880s baseball documentary coming up. So
if we get it,
our channel has three shows. So I hope that's not a problem. This actually ties in perfectly to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, Timothy Oliphant being a good example of this. But like, if you could take one celebrity to the ballpark with you to watch a baseball game, who would it be other than Timothy Oliphant? And then I want you to tell me why.
Oh man, now I need to think of a new answer.
I know, sorry about that. I know. Totally stepped on your toes there. But anyway, we're going to start with you just because I want to continue to step on your toes.
Okay.
So what have you got?
You know, I think if I'm going to sit next to someone at a baseball game and it's a celebrity, I'd prefer a funny person. I prefer a comedian. I think the best comedian for this job would be Louis C.K., which, I mean, he is, you know, maybe the number one comedian out there right now, but he's also the kind of guy that's like one of the super observant comedians who finds things in everyday life and thinks about them and sees them kind of in a different way than the average person might. Mm-hmm. A baseball game has a tremendous amount of things that are super weird if you really think about them. You know, all these grown men are like spitting and scratching themselves and like things that just aren't done in normal society, at least not in public. So I think sitting next to him and just hearing his observances on a baseball game for 9 innings would be pretty fun.
Definitely.
I think that's a good one. Is he a baseball fan? He probably is, right?
I think he's a casual Red Sox fan.
Okay.
I think.
That makes sense.
I believe it.
Yeah. Connor, I don't think he's ever done baseball in the show.
I don't think it. Mm-mm. It doesn't stick out, at least in my brain.
But I think he's. I want to say that I've heard him talk about, you know, some Red Sox stuff.
Yeah, he's like definitely an interesting guy, which is really important.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No way do you want to watch baseball with someone who's just not going to talk and like stare vacantly.
Yeah. No, that would be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I've been to baseball games with people, and it's like, you know, you don't really know them that well, and you just sort of sit there, and it's awkward.
I've definitely dragged my friends to games with me, and they're like, well, we just sit there.
Yeah, it's weird. It's fine if, like, you know, there's somebody I know well. If I'm trying to, like, get to know them, it's tough.
Well, especially since a lot of my friends are theater people, so they're like, should we be quiet? Should we, like, sit the whole time?
Yeah, you should. You stand and applaud politely.
Like, we once went to a game with my friend, and we left, and at the end, like, the home team lost. She was like, no one's even clapping. I was like, well, what do you want them to clap about? Shut out? Like, I don't know.
Good effort, everyone. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, people just started leaving in the eighth inning. She was just upset.
Well, you do in theater, you do clap for even bad plays.
I don't.
You don't clap?
I'm a jerk, though.
There have
been very few pieces of theater in my life I've seen that I've not clapped for, but if I really hate something, I will not clap.
What was the last play that you didn't clap for?
Should I say it?
Gonna put you on the spot, yes.
It was at Rattlestick Theater, and it was called Horse Dreams, and it was the worst. It was about...
I can't believe Horse Dreams wasn't riveting.
Guess what it was about?
I could never figure it out.
I may vaguely know, but why don't you tell me?
It was about heroin. But also... Oh,
I thought it was about horses.
Also, it was about a rich kid who liked to ride horses, but both of his parents were addicted to heroin. And there's one scene when he came into the room, and he was just like, do you want more scotch, Dad? The whole scene. And it was just terribly acted. And it was really embarrassing for all of us. And people next to me and my friend were crying, and we were laughing because we're terrible. And I did not clap for that play.
Well, there goes the Rattlestick sponsorship for our podcast.
I once treated a Broadway show like a baseball game and got yelled at.
Really?
What show?
It was Phantom of the Opera. I went with my family. I was approximately 8 years old. And
oh, okay. Honestly, in my head, this was like recent. I don't know why.
I thought it might have been like the Rocky musical.
I might have
that you
oversold that intro somewhat. But it was like halfway through. Actually, it was not halfway through because of intermission, because that show was endless. Yes. It was like, you know, somewhere in the middle. And I was hungry, and I had like a bag of chips. And I like opened it and kind of crinkled it. And this lady in front of me turns around in a British accent and goes, if you want to eat that bag of crisps, go to the cinema. And then I had to ask my mom to explain what she meant, because I didn't know what crisps were or what the cinema was. Or why I was going to yell that, because I, you know, previously been in like baseball stadiums where you can just eat what you want when you want and nobody cared.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I went to a Broadway show.
Well, good. It's actually changed now. They like sell food and stuff.
And you get like a liquor sippy cup.
Yeah, you do. So yeah. 8-year old Ian K he'd be all fine there.
The liquor part sounds a lot more promising.
Not for 8-year old Ian K. Definitely not. Gemma, did we get to your celebrity?
Oh no. Okay, well, I had so many different choices. I'm gonna go with my top choice is Paul Rudd.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, because he just seems like a fun guy to hang out with. I could learn his secret of stealing the youth from the people of the world, because he still looks so young. It would be great. He's also just such a big baseball fan.
Yeah, big Royals fan.
And you always want to watch it with someone who has that much love for the game.
Yeah, that is true.
I also thought of Aisha Tyler. She likes the Giants. I like her. Mm-hmm. And the Giants are fine.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd is like a legit fan. That was cool from last year that, you know, you see some celebrities, they're just there because they're from the place. But like,
and they didn't, right. But he's really invested, and that's nice.
He flew back from filming whatever he was filming there for those games.
Yeah. And you hear stories of like him being a really nice guy too, which is like a positive thing. It's always good to hear that.
Definitely.
For me, I want, if I'm going to go to a game, I want like to have somebody who is like good to talk to and like I could sort of pick their brain about a lot of issues and a lot of things. And, like, I want somebody who, like, really cares and is knowledgeable about the sport. And, you know, somebody who I wouldn't really feel intimidated around, but who I could just sort of have a nice casual conversation with. So I have decided that the celebrity I would want to watch a baseball game with is President Barack Obama. I think that, like, that would just be a really fun time. You know what I mean? Like, it would be just like, he would be, obviously it would be a White Sox game, obviously, because I'm not making him go anywhere else. We're going to the White Sox. And like, you know, he'll be so jazzed about like every run. And like, he'll be so happy to just not be doing his job for like 4 hours that he can like, you know, because that job's stressful. And so that's the other thing, is you want somebody who's like just really happy to be in the ballpark. And like, he'll be so happy to be there. That's who I would want to go.
That's a really good answer.
That is a good one.
And like, we can talk about all kinds of stuff.
I mean, if I could go to a ballgame with any president, I probably would, but probably like the ghost of Taft. That would be my ideal presidential guest. Because when I like him, he's just a weird dude. And he threw out, you know, the first presidential pitch. So obviously he has some connection to baseball, unlike Teddy Roosevelt, who liked baseball, but it wasn't really his sport. Didn't have enough guns involved. So.
But he does have a team named sort of.
He does. And he liked that his son played baseball, Kermit.
Kermit?
It was Kermit.
Kermit. His kid's name was Kermit.
Did not know that.
Kermit Roosevelt?
Kermit Roosevelt. And he played baseball.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not professionally, but he played.
Look at how informative the Cut Forecast is.
It is.
I would just like to say, that's really great. We're able to convey really great information to you, the listener.
Kermit Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yep. Fun facts. Ian, do you have a president you would go to a ballgame with? Any president, obviously, because I'm resurrecting them. Zombie Taft.
Man, that's a tough one. Certainly not Abraham Lincoln, but...
Do you think it'd just be too depressing?
Like... No, I think his history in public places would.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yes, it is still too soon.
I love that joke. I liked it a lot.
No.
Yes.
You don't get to name another president. I'm revoking your president naming privileges after such a crass joke.
You can't take this away from me.
I'm the boss.
I would go with Gerald Ford, fellow Michigan man. Mm-hmm. But because he was a legitimate athlete, he was an All-American, I'd kind of be interested to see what kind of insights he would have. I think that athletes always kind of see these things differently than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting.
That would be fun. A lot of presidents played baseball.
That's true.
Yeah. LBJ was the ringer on a team that was supposed to be all brothers, but he was not related.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have, like, totally raised the level of discourse.
I love president's trivia, you guys. I love president trivia.
Well... Sadly, though, I don't think you're going to have the opportunity to share any more with us
right
now.
I'm going to start a spin-off podcast where all I do is talk about presidents.
That's good. We'll do that. We'll do the All Presidents episode of
Great.
The Cub Forecast.
Great, good.
That will
Fourth
happen.
Of July week.
Perfect. Fourth mm-hmm. of July week.
Get Boom. Ready for presidential
Appointment
trivia.
Listening. You will have to be here for that. You'll have to come back for that. But what we want to do right now is sum up this sprawling and informative conversation into 140 characters, one tweet from each of you and myself. That really, like, just gets the essence of this whole podcast. Gemma, we'll start with you.
Oh,
we'll
man.
Give Ian some time to
You
prepare.
Know I'm really bad at
you
this.
Like
it's been established I've been really bad at this on previous podcasts.
That's all right.
Okay, who's on the all-century swag team? Cut4TV Network, hashtag Batflips Forever.
Okay. Good.
I think it maybe could have used some
Sounds
more
long.
Information about, no pictures, that wouldn't fit.
Yeah, it definitely couldn't fit a picture.
And we needed more information about our awesome TV shows.
That's okay.
Should have gotten that in there.
I would favorite. I would not retweet, but I would favorite. Ian?
That's so bogus. It's retweet or get out.
I know. What is a favorite? Who wants that?
It's just, I liked it. I liked it, but I don't really want to share it with everybody else. I'm selfish that way.
Okay, let's see. Aged Master R.A. Dickey teaches young Jedi Aaron Sanchez swag celebration. Set your DVRs.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Is that a hashtag or just
hashtag.
Set your DVRs?
It could be a hashtag.
All right.
It's a long hashtag.
It is a long hashtag, but it's a good hashtag.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hashtag. We can hashtag it. I'm in.
All right.
Sold on
Glad
the hashtag.
Glad we sold you on the hashtag.
Good.
Now we'll retweet that. You've earned a retweet. All right, for me, I'm going to go, who put this baseball in Jell-O? Hashtag the clubhouse.
Nice.
Is that not good?
Retweet, yes. 100%.
Yes. All right.
Retweet. If you guys have tweets for us, you should tweet them at us, at Cut4.
Indeed, you should. Yeah. If you have a good baseball-themed TV show, if you have any players you think should be on the MLB All-Swag team, you can tweet them at us. We will retweet some really good ones. So please go ahead and do that.
Dakota might just favorite them.
I might just favorite them.
Ian and I will retweet because we don't play that game.
These two non-selfish people will gladly retweet all of your tweets. But all of that stuff you can find at MLB.com/cut4. You can follow us at cut4, and you can tweet us again at cut4 with the hashtag cut4cast. I'm Dakota Gardner.
I'm Gemma Kaneko.
I'm Ian Kay.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.